Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we are privileged, Lord, to be called your children.
Amen.
We are privileged, oh, Lord, to be here this morning, to come to the house of the Lord, and gather together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your grace, for your mercy, for all that which you have given unto your only begotten Son, Father. And he has so graciously, Lord, blessed us to sit in heavenly places with him and to be able, Lord, to be in thy presence, coming together, Lord, in fellowship, in worship, and hearing of thy word. Father, Lord, I commit this day to you. I commit myself to you, Father. And may that God give me strength, Father, to go on. Lord, until the day, Lord, we all see you face to face in the great rapturing day. Father, we commit this time now to you in the opening of thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I try to be speaking as normal as I can. We are in our series from eternity and time. Let us go to chapter 35 where we left off. This will be the only chapter I'll be speaking today, because this will be the ending of the story of Jacob. There's much to learn from these three main characters in the Bible: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you remember very well, all these three characters, not much is actually written about Isaac. But a whole lot is written about Jacob. We know Abraham was the type of the father. Isaac was the type of the son, the man of the well. And here Jacob was the type of the church. And I want you to know that the life of Jacob was a type of how the church goes through. How God dealt with Jacob is how God is dealing with us. But I want you to think of it as not just the church as a whole, but think of you as an individual, like Jacob himself. Now at the end of this story, now today in chapter 35, we have realized and see how that Jacob had failed to keep his word in our last study of Genesis 35-34. That Jacob failed to keep his word when he's supposed to go to meet his brother Esau at Seir. But he didn't. Now you know what we have is the region of Paddan Aram. And you know the story how it began, of course, when Jacob himself, in this region that he lived, and wanting to have the inheritance, and he sought for the inheritance, and he got it. But his brother came running after him, wanted to kill him, as he heard the saying goes, or what was told to him. So his parents sent him up all the way to his kindred, up there in the north. So on the way up, as you know, he went up there to this place called Bethel, and where he met God when he ran the first time, and then he went all the way up then. And he became a sort of a slave, so to speak, working so much, so hard for Laban. And for about 20 years, he was there, before he finally decided to get away from Laban, and he came down to Sukkot, right this area here. And that's when he heard that Esau was coming up from Seir, down south, to meet him. And he thought, of course, we know that he thought Esau was coming to kill him. But Esau, contrarily, Esau was trying to get him, join up to him and forget about the past and told him to meet him, to go to his place down in Seir. And so he told Esau to go ahead and say he would catch up. And you know he didn't. So from there, he ran over onto this side to Shechem. Now when he went to Shechem, he got into trouble. You know, that's the problem here we have with believers. Christian, many of us, we are just like that. When we're going to want trouble, we don't want to get right with God, and we just get ourselves into more trouble. So when you got trouble in Sikkim, you know what happened up there in Sikkim? One of his daughter got into trouble and was laid down by the king's son, and so some of the children of the son were not happy. So they tricked the king into having circumcision. So they said, we can marry your wife and you can marry our woman, and so on, and live together. So having got them circumcised, the children went and slaughtered them. And so the trouble was there, and you know what? The people there were strong. They could have destroyed all of Jacob's people. But God protected them. And that was the trouble that now, as we study chapter 35, there are much to learn in this chapter here. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appear unto thee when thou fled from the face of Esau thy brother. Now, you know, all these years that Jacob had been dealt with by the Lord, he had completely forgotten his vow. And we all know one thing in the Bible, it says that don't ever make a vow if you cannot keep it. If you make a vow, remember to keep the vow. When you make a promise, remember to keep the promise. Especially in the marriage life, you know, few death do us part, in sickness, in health, in this and that. But today we see around the world, divorces are very common. Singapore is catching up, very much like America now. It's on the rise. It's scary. It's very scary. You know, and so when you make a vow, let us remember this. Here we have Jacob being in trouble now in Sikkim. And the Lord spoke to him. Now, where will he go? Laban, he wanted to avoid. He had no desire to see Laban. Esau, well, he wanted to keep himself far away from Esau as possible. And now with the Sikkimite wanting to go, come against him. After all, many of them were slaughtered. So, you know, he was in a state. And so now God appeared to him once again and told him, go down to Bethel and dwell there. Then Esau said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garment. Alright, let us go to chapter 28 back and see. So what happened over in chapter 28, just recall, verse 16. Here was Jacob's vow when he slept in a place called Luz. The word Luz means depart, to depart, or departure. And it was there that Jacob had this dream of this ladder, an angel ascending and descending. And then he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Verse 20 to 22. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if the Lord be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go. And I said this before. We always make a vow in a way that it is beneficial to us. Put more profit to on our side. If God would do this, then I would do this. You know, right? Many times we do that. If God will bless me, then I will do this to him. But you know, on the contrary from what Abraham, his grandfather, it was just not like that. Abraham was not a man like that. Abraham was a man who believed God when God says, come out of your country, your kindred, and your father's house, and I'll bring you to a place. But he didn't say, God, if you bless me, then I'll do this. No, not at all. When he won the battle of the kings, he gave a tithe to Melchizedek. There was no Nothing said about that you should go and tithe or anything like that. And then we see, of course, that Jacob was such a man. And just a con man. Just like us. You know, when he worked for Laban, he was cheated. And so he would say, no, I must get the better of him. And I believe there's carnality. And there's so much written about Jacob, then Abraham or Isaac, that we should learn from. And see why God put all this record down in this book of Genesis. Here was a man who said, if the Lord be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And all the time when he went out from that place on the way to Padan Aram and worked all his 20 years, he hardly remembered God at all, literally. And you know what? Many of us are just like that. When we have everything good going on for us, our career is blooming, you know, we completely forget about God. And I like the testimony of Henry Ford. A man who, a young man, give his tithe to the Lord. For every dollar he had, give 10 cents. For every $10 he had when he grew up, you know, when he works, he give a dollar. For 100, he give $10. Then he became a big guy in the Ford Motors. And sitting down one day to open a check. In those days, $1,000. That's a whole lot of money. Then, you know, he looked at the check and says, that's a lot of money to give to the church. You know. And you know what he said? He said, the Lord touches his heart. And said, you know what? Would you like to give me a dollar? I won't mind having a dollar. I gave you a job that's only worth $10. That your wages will be $10. You see, people compare a figure of $1,000 and not forgetting that you have $10,000. And if you give $1, it's only $10. What would you have? You see, and men, every one of us, like it or not, we are going through a process. That we should not look on the old man. We should not think like old man anymore. Like the old man, the old self. Paul said, I die every day. Put the old man to death. See him good and proper. But some, you know, old man is just like a zombie once in a while. He comes up and he bothers a little. And we begin to carnal. And we begin to think of the natural thing, carnal thing. And there are people that, in some denomination, they preach prosperity. As you will know, God is a multimillionaire. He's rich. You just ask God whatever you believe and he'll give to you. And then the preacher will say, you know what? Give and it shall be given unto you. So they pass the offering by. They want you to give to him. And they keep on telling him to have faith. And when they preach prosperity, you think that when you have a Mercedes Benz or a big bungalow house and a career that's worth $2-3 million a year, you think that's God's blessing for you? Maybe. You know. But prosperity is not counting that. Prosperity is spiritual. The thing that God gives you. That's peace. That joy. The word of life. That keep on flowing out from the belly. And that's what God wants to give us. That's prosperity. But nevertheless, God is giving us this picture of Jacob. Back to chapter 35. There's some 30 years, it's not 20 years, 30 years at least earlier. Now, I want to look at verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange God that among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Now, God here reminds Jacob, and Jacob stood up to tell the whole of his household, that include all the servants and all the men that he had purchased over the years in his travels, and God has prospered him. You know, God just reminded him at this time in verse 1 to him, verse 1, and then he realized that he needed to keep his part of the vow. God had already kept him all these years. Now he realized he needed to keep the part of his vow because he had failed to keep that all the years. Alright? So now, in verse 2, it is interesting that we read here, he said to the people, his household, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garment. I said this before, in God's way of dealing with men, to bring about the gospel, he chose Abraham. Abraham heard from God and he laughed. His wife Sarah was not a believer. His wife Sarah was just as pagan as could be. They came from a land of pagans, Mesopotamia. And here was the same thing with Isaac, I mean Jacob. You know, his children, they kept idols. We read earlier in the chapter before about Rachel stole from his father, Laban, a teraphim, an image. A teraphim is an image that they inquire from that idol about the prosperity of their journey. Should they take a journey? Should they make a journey? And that's what they have in those days. All kinds of idols. And so, it's not surprising that his children also kept strange gods, idols. And it's hard to believe. They think, oh, well, these are the tribes of Israel. You know, later on, the tribes of Israel, they shall know better. But no, this is just the beginning of God dealing with the people. And many of us, just like that, in Isaac, in Jacob's case, Jacob knew well that they had idols, but nothing was said about it, or nothing was done to clear the household, his whole family, of all these idols. Nothing. You see, God was dealing with him, and he just admitted of us, well, we come to the Lord, yes, but there are many idols, in our life too. There are many things that is in our life that God wants us to get rid of. You see. So, it is no surprise, but he says, put away the strange God among you and be clean and change your garment. Now, you need to have a changeover. I mean, not just, well, best dressed man or best dressed woman, nothing to do with that. You know, as you will know, when you are an idol worshipper, there is a different thing about, there is a certain kind of look about you. Some kind of spirit that's in you. So we now need to be a change. That doesn't mean to be a clean up. Now here, the trouble at Shechem that causes God to speak to Jacob was because of Jacob's failure to go to Bethel in the first place. He should go back where he started. And now we see here God is dealing with him. He's coming full circle. It was at Bethel that God spoke to him. Now his journey is going to end. God spoke to him one more time. Go back to Bethel. All this time he had been just a whole lot of sin, leprosy of sin. And the moral, of course, is evident. It was spiritual neglect. They were striving, you know, with temptation issues. Should I not? And how should go about it? We're dealing with Laban, dealing with the people in Shechem, dealing with his own children. So Jacob was a man that had his many ups and downs. Likewise also, we must not neglect God's commandment. We must not neglect God's house. Now, I, as being a pastor of this fellowship, it is my responsibility to tell you the truth. To preach to you all these years what God had called me to do. And I would not be disobedient to the heavenly vision, sure enough. It's been a hard journey, but I have to do what I have to do. Many may not like it, but it must be told. It must be said. It must be, every one of us must be instructed. Now, if you look at chapter 35, verse 2 and 3, the word it is that Jacob told him, put away a strange god, be clean, change your garment. always, it seems that God is always speaking in threes. We have justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost, baptism. We have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know. And if you want to look at chapter 12, which I want to pick this up in chapter 12, verse 1, I want you to realize something. In chapter 12, verse 1, when God dealt with his grandfather, Abraham, the Lord spoke to Abraham, said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show you. Now, God always sort of narrow down things. You know, repent, first thing. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's always God speaking in threes. And here we have, here is a form of narrowing down. God looked at Abraham in that country of Mesopotamia, Babylonian Empire, great empire, but an empire of immorality, an empire of pride, an empire that had many temples, shrines. They worshipped the bulls, the sun, women, and whatever not. All kinds of idols were there in Mesopotamia. God said, now, Abraham, get out of that country. Then he narrowed down, and also from thy kindred. Thy kindred, that is your uncle, your auntie, your cousins, your nephew. You understand? Then he narrowed down even further down, and from thy father's house. Oh, the father's house, my brother. My sister? Yes. My father? My mother? Yes. You know, you talk about pre-Exodus. That's what we are seeing here. Big kingdom, get out of that. For your own kindred, somebody have their own surname perhaps. Then right down to your own family, your father's house. Now, I want you to think for this very carefully. When God gave us a message through William Branham, the message called for total separation from unbelief. Now, I do not know about you. Some of you may not agree with me. But I have been holding on to this, and I stood on it all these years since 71 when God called me into this ministry. When the gospel was given, after all, the apostle died, as Jesus said in his parable. Tares were sown. And later on, a kingdom came out. What kingdom was that? The Roman Empire. The great Holy Roman Empire. Under a man called Vicarius Fidelio, the Pope. And what woman named Roman, the Holy Roman Empire is just like this Babylonian Empire. That's where you all started, Babel, right there. Babylon. In the book of Revelation, this big empire that had no bound, that has no boundary, is called Mystery Babylon, the Mother Harlots. So what did God do then? Over the year, God was looking down, year passed, many, many years passed, generation passed, and suddenly God began to do something. He created a reformation. They get married by Martin Luther, Hudson, Zwingli, to turn around the whole of Europe, to get out of that nation, that kingdom. We call it a country. You know, Vatican City is a country? It is a country. And that's what it is. So that was the first Exodus. They came out. And after a while, you know, again, it goes back right into a system again. And then the second, now get out from your kindred. What we see today, we see in the churches today, Christendom, the big country. And now we have the kindred kind. You know, when we talk about Christendom, you have people holding to the Bible, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormon holding to the Bible too. The Episcopal and all, they are all holding to the Bible. But there is this kindred kind that comes together in ecumenism. The World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. It started all the way in 1948. Earlier in America, they already tried to form it. And that's why we have NCC later on, it came out of that place. But the whole world had this World Council of Churches. Ecumenism. Everybody coming together. Surprise, a surprise. I wasn't surprised anyway, because the prophet of God really said that in the past, and I couldn't believe it. But I was in the Grace Assembly of God Church. I was in the Exemption of God Church, and we were always fighting against the World Council of Churches. But today, for the last 20-odd years now, I think it was, it has been that they already became a member of the World Council of Churches. The very thing that you fought against, you're now a member of. And William Branham said, they're all going to go back. And we're going to come out from this kindred and come to the Word. Oh yes, now we are in the Father's house, so we speak. Oh yeah, we are in a message. Everybody says, we believe Malachi 4, 5 and 6, we believe that God sent a messenger and all these things. Oh, everybody is just so taken up with a man sent from God, William Branham, because of the message. So people seem to identify themselves. So you are anti-message believer? Good for you. I am also. So they came together under this big umbrella too, called anti-message. The Father's house, you're all coming back now. One Exodus, second Exodus now. But what do we see in this anti-message movement, that it's commonly called? What we see now, we see Branhamism, a spirit that is working. Do you know that Abraham's own family, there are too many of their idol worshippers. There's some spirit out there in Mesopotamia. There's certain spirit out there in Babylon. This Babylon Empire. And people were affected by a certain spirit. Now you go to America, you have the American spirit, right, Brother Brett? You know. You go to the Philippines, they have certain kind of spirit. You go to a different country, they have certain kind, you know. In Japan, yeah. You know, you can see a lot of young girls and young boys. They dress, I don't know what they dress now. They dress like those, some kind of a comic characters, you know. It's a certain spirit in the land, in the nation. Here in Singapore, walao, you know what, y'all people like to talk like that, and don't know what on earth is that. Right? We know what we have, yala, no la. Sister Bernanke will understand when we say no la. Oh, that's okay, that's kind of a slang. But no, they all kind of strange word come out, walao, I don't know what they're saying. But then, I don't know what on earth is that. Then I realized, but then, something like that, you know. And there's a certain spirit that is catching on in Singapore here too, you know. But when we talk about how God dealt with Abraham, get out of that country. Not only get out of your country, get out from your own kindred. Not only that, get out from your own father's house. And you know that message God gave us in this generation? Get out from Christendom with all the Babylon you're setting. Get out from all these so-called kindred kind of yours. Yeah, you look at a Methodist, I'm a Christian. Yes, sir, brother, how are you? So yes, that's true. We don't deny that they are believers, they are Christian people. Be it a Lutheran, be it a Methodist, a Baptist, a Charismatic, a Pentecostal. Yes, they are kindred kind to us. But God said, get out from there. Not only that, now, the third Exodus, get out from your father's house. You may identify to you, I don't believe in ecumenism. I don't believe in that spirit. Because Brother Brown preached a certain message so strong that many people read it and bypass it. God's word called for total separation from unbelief. You know what, brothers and sisters? You look at the life of these patriarchs, how God dealt with them. You look at Jacob. A man can make a vow, but forgot about it. Does he really have sincerity to go back to Bethel? But if it wasn't for God who dealt with him, when he was a so-called Esau came up to meet him, well, he was afraid. What was his faith in God? Not at all. No, none of them are there. Then he lied again. Lied. There are so many lies that he probably have spoken. Now you go first, Esau, and then I come after. He didn't. Esau left. He stuck across the river Jordan, went over to Shechem. When he went there, he got into more troubles. His daughter slept with a man who was a Shechemite. You see what I'm saying? You know, God is trying to deal with him. And so finally, at this stage now, if it wasn't for God's grace to protect him, all his household could have been wiped out. Now, Jacob, arise! God is reminding him, you have forgotten to keep your pledge. You have forgotten to keep your vow. You know what God deal with us? You know, he give us grace. He give us this gospel of eternal life in Jesus. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent and I love you. You know, we embraced the Lord's grace. And when God deal with our life, many times we forgot how that he had given us this gift. And yet many times God have to remind us of our place. And we need to know where our place is. And it's true, you know. The bride of Christ or the wife of Christ cannot make herself ready until she comes back and be clean and change her garment. What kind of garment are we people putting on in this end time message? A garment. You know, when you go down to some of these churches, you can say, look, go to Lutheran. Or maybe in a shopping mall, you see a man dressed in white with a cross in front of his chest. Well, we say, well, he's either, maybe it's a Lutheran priest, a Lutheran preacher, maybe it's a Methodist. You know. Or it could be something else. But when you see a man in black with a white collar turning outside out, you say, well, that's probably a Methodist. You understand? That's a garment that they put on. What kind of garment do people in this entire message put on? I'm in a message garment. You know what I'm talking about? I'm a believer of William Branham Branham's message. Brother, sisters, there have only been one message all these thousands of years. There has always been only one message. And that is what we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. God is light. And in him is no darkness. Is that right? God is light. In him is no tradition. God is revelation. God is the light of life. In him is no darkness. No tradition. Tradition is death. And so what do people get around for? And that's what I never liked. When we have conventions in many countries, they have usually banners put out there on top of it. In front of the church or whatever they advertise. End time message convention. Spoken word convention. No, you know that what they identify with. They identify with the Mayor William Marion Branham. You know, brother and sister, I'm here this morning. I am not identified with William Branham. I'm identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hush. When I spoke in many countries, when people invited me, when all kinds of preachers, churches gathered together because they were invited, many of the ministers, wow, they don't like what I said. They will always say, do you dare to speak against the prophet? I said, did I speak against the prophet? Did I speak against the prophet? Or am I just telling the truth and you don't like it because you worship the man? This is a time for us to get out from thy father's house, so to speak. Get out from this anti-message kind of a spirit that you have. Now this is recorded on video, on tape. It'll be put on the website. And I'm telling that to those who listen to the video, likewise. We are identified with the Word. If you identify with the Word, I identify with the Word, then we all are in the same. If you identify with Branham, somebody identify with Wesley, somebody identify with Luther, then we are in the same. You are Wesley, you are a Lutheran, you are a Branhamite. That's why I do not accept ecumenical spirit. Here it is, God telling to tell Jacob, could you be sincere, Jacob? Have you forgotten? Come on, rise now, go to Bethel. What you have first said, I'll alter. Remember, Now, at least Jacob knew. Call up his people. Get away with all the strange gods that you have. Be clean and change your garment now. Do you know why? As believer of God, we set our minds on things above. And as Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. First time we come to the message, oh yes, we're all excited. Fantastic message. Great. Simple. You take a book of Brother Ben, you read it. Oh my, that's true. So everybody got excited. But you know, by and by, there's a spirit that comes in. And, well, I guess, I think Brother Bradley would know, being in America. It's all started in America, like it or not. That's where the message started, and a lot of followers of Brother Branham, after Brother Branham passed away, they think that there are some great preachers go around the world, give their opinions of this and that. And today, there are so many different opinions. So many different opinions! And yet, they could gather together and sit under an ecumenical umbrella. Not for me. I don't sit under an ecumenical umbrella. God says, separate from unbelief. Make a stand for what you have, for truth. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot fellowship with a Lutheran or Episcopalian, you know, or a Methodist or a Branhamite. I'm not saying that you cannot. You've got to make a stand for what the Word said to do and do it. And God will bless. And this year, all this year that God had dealt with Jacob. Finally, Jacob did what was right to do. So they went. Verse 4. And they give up unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. I have been to India and ministered the word, and even the last trip to Nepal, I always want to mention this. That people don't, I said, paganism has invaded the church. It has invaded the church, general means in every churches, from the very beginning. And we take it for granted. And we think that it's okay, without realizing it. We need to separate tradition from paganism. What is tradition and what is pagan? What is custom and what is traditions of a religion? A lot of people don't know how to separate that. And we have trouble in the past in Singapore. We have our Chinese Lunar New Year. I mean, we have our Lunar New Year as we all Chinese would celebrate. And on such an occasion as Brother Bradley will understand now, we pick oranges, you know, and visit a home and give them a well-wishing, well-wish them. And it's just a custom. Because it's a springtime, and that's how you have American Thanksgiving. Where you have a big fat turkey and things like that. But you know, some people don't understand that being a tradition. They take it as being a religious tradition, which it isn't. In America, you shake your hand, hug one another. In Japan, they don't shake hand. Because now they're sort of Americanized. They shake hand now, but otherwise they would have cut out from the waist down. In Eskimo, go to Eskimo land, they rub nose. You know. And if you go to the Middle East, they won't shake hand properly, they'll just hug you and like a bear hug and palm your back. Well, that's just tradition, custom of the land. You know. But people don't know how to decipher that. But you know what? When I was in Nepal, I told them this. When I was in India, I always tell them this. And in India, of course, some of the sisters would take out the earring and give it to me. I said, Brother Dan, I don't want this earring no more. That's what happened. Where does the earring come from? Interesting here. They give out the strange gods and give the earring out. Now, unlike later on in Moses' day, they fall back into idolatry again. And all the earring and all the golds that they took and gave it to Aaron, it came out a golden calf. And Aaron said, this is your Elohim, the one that brought you out of Egypt. Now, paganism all started way back, of course, before the flood. It was Cain who started religion, but after the flood was Nimrod. Nimrod built the empire. And if you ever look at history, they have all kinds of makeup on their body. Nimrod wear a headband with a horn. That was the sign of his prowess, you know. It's a man's sign. And all the women they have, well, they have horns too. And they have a head with stick up one here, one horn at the hand, and then they put some veils around them, you know, strange looking thing. And all the makeup and all sorts of things that they have. And where does earring come from? It's because there is a hole in the ear, and you know that as you look in the Bible symbol, there's a representation of slavery. And so Jacob said, give up all your strange gods. And then they took away the gods and give them to Aaron a earring. You know what? Aaron did not say, well, we can, Jacob did not say anything about, say, well, we can reuse this gold. No. He completely buried all. Whether it's a golden idol, it's a stone idol, wood idol, gold ring, silver ring, what kind of ring? He buried it down. He says, that's dead. It's gone. And so when we become a Christian, we've got to bury the old man. Let your old man die. Bury it. That's it. Begin a new life. Now there's a journey now that they are going to Bethel. The old things is past. Jacob got to realize, come to realization, whatever he had gone through, all the mess that he had created, all that he had made. You see, when a man make a mistake, it's going to affect his family. So when you make a mistake, especially men in the house, when you make a choice, you have to pray about it before you make a choice. Because if you make one mistake, your family is going to suffer. You may think that you can argue your way through that you are not wrong in making that decision. But once you make a mistake, you don't realize it, and you don't feel it, but your family will feel it. Your children will feel it. You mock my word and see if it's not true. Think about it. I fear the Lord knows day when God called me out. When I was in the assemblies of God, God spoke to me and says, I have a work for you. Not knowing what to do, think that I have to go to theological school or something. But I just wrote down my Bible until the message came. When the message came, God says, start a publication. Not knowing how am I going to, what am I supposed to do? I left denomination, now we have just a few brothers and one or two sisters coming together. But we started a publication. We just barely $100. In less than 2 years, a publication went up to 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000. And God did all the work. Just get the publication out. And then time came. And the Lord spoke, now is the time for you to travel. But all those years, I feared the Lord. When I got married, I had to raise up two children. You know, when you're married, doesn't mean that you know how to father. Neither does a woman know how to mother. You know what I mean? In the animal, there is an instinct. A mother cat will pick up a stray little kitten, you know, pick them from the back of the neck and bring them to safety. But humankind, they give up their child, they will abandon the child. That's true, you know that. And I say this, anthropology said that man came from the monkeys, with a big laugh. And we know that monkeys don't do that. They care for their own. You know, ever see a mother monkey carries a little monkey around? Yes. And monkey, that's a funny phrase, I always like to say it. And monkey says, we monkey don't monkey somebody else's monkeys. But only a human being do that. They monkey somebody else's monkey and get into trouble. You see? So, because of the fear of the Lord, and I believe that every one of us should have the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. understanding. And now, Jacob said, okay, that's good. Take all that, bury it up under the oak. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the city that was round about them. And they did not pursue after the son of Jacob. Just think about it for just imagine that. You know, Jacob realized the important thing. Get rid of anything of the past. Thing that has been a hindrance in his life. And because what he did, because he hearkened to the voice of God, the cities round about in Shechem and other parts as a journey. You know, news spread very fast in those days. What happened in Shechem? The news spread. And they'll probably be allies of one city dweller to that of Shechem. But God had give protection to Jacob. Because now Jacob was obedient. And he did what was right. And let's go now. Put away all the shame, God, take away all the yearning. Could it be clean? Change your government and let us go to battle. And God's sovereignty protect him. And as the Bible said, as the journey, the terror of God was upon the city that were around about them. And they did not pursue after the son of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz. This is the second time the word only appeared twice in the Bible. The word Luz means depart. The place where, or what's originally called Luz, was now changed to Bethel. Reaching the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all his people that were with him. And he built then an altar and called the place at Bethel, the God of the house of God. Because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Verse 8 now. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bakhu. You see, here we have a strange kind of a verse that comes in all of a sudden that we cannot, you cannot understand. What on earth is that? All of a sudden we have, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. You know, when Jacob left his father and mother, after he heard that Esau wanted to kill him, he went all the way to Padan Aram. He never seen his mother anymore. Rebekah, of course, was wanting to see him, but never did. So now word reached him that Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. Why Deborah? Most likely because the nurse of Rebekah must be very close to Rebekah. When Rebekah died, not very long after that, Deborah also died. And she was buried beneath that under the oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bakhu, which means the oak of weeping. You know, everything is buried under a great oak tree. And I think all this time that Jacob had been through, he must have been very depressing for him to think back what he had done and never seen his mother, never seen his mother's nurse, all the people that he was familiar with. And that's exactly what happened in the last few weeks ago when I, 2 weeks ago when I came back when we heard about somebody passed away. Somebody whom we knew for more than 20 years, we never seen them. And suddenly the joy in my heart to be able to meet them again. The oak of weeping. Lost cause, lost chapter now. Wasted years. I don't know how many of you have gone through life, backslidden state for many years as a Christian. Then when you are restored back to the joy of God's salvation, you think back about the years that are wasted. Years that you could have spent and do something for the Lord. But you didn't have it. So let us not be like Jacob in this state. We don't want to have, we want to redeem our time. Don't let time passes by day after day, into weeks, into months, into years, without anything beneficial. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. As he went here, as we know, the first time he went to Padan Aram, God appeared to him in Bethel. Now when he came out of Padan Aram, God again appeared to him. It's telling us that God is going to close the chapter of the journey that you begin from Bethel to Padan Aram. All those years was a wasted year. Now you come out, I'm going to let us begin a new journey. And I'm so glad when I, what we know, we most of us are caught in denomination. When I was in denomination, I was very active. Do outreach, soul winning, street witnessing, Bible study in the group, prayer, every particularly every day. We have all these activities. And every time, you know, all that I did at that time, when I look back, when I came out of the system after that, I realized all that I did was to build an empire for the church. I was waving the Assemblies of God flag. That's true. I wasn't even thinking much about God. Yeah, I do soul winning, that's right. But only I want to win souls to bring them to the existence of God. You think about it. It is just like that. When somebody witnesses to you about the Lord, if he is a Methodist, he'll take you to a Methodist church, obviously. He won't say, okay, just go to church nearby you. But today, in ecumenical movement, not under the World Council of Churches, it's okay. If I'm Methodist, I bring you to Christ, just go to any church nearby, whether it's a charismatic or a Pentecostal, it doesn't matter anymore. Because after all, we are kindred. Now, when I win the soul, I want him to stick to the Word of God. Doesn't matter where he fellowship, but stick to the Word of God. And later on, look around for a church that stays the Word, preach the Word, and stay in it, and hold for the cause of it. Well, today, sad to say, we still have people that believe in the message. I have seen some brother came here before. They still have no place to settle down. They have no place to settle down. Some of them are still going to charismatic, Pentecost, anywhere they like. They have no place to settle down. But if they have a place to settle down, it would be wonderful. And I believe this for sure. That's true. If you want life, you seek the Word of God. Not just a church where you think that you can have, well, young people go to charismatic church today, what do they go there for? The Rock, down in the Suntec, City Harbor, somewhere down in the Balestier or Brother Road somewhere. Big church! Many theaters now occupied by churches. Oh, the great bang that bashed away disco music and rock and roll music. And all the teenagers having a wonderful time! Pastors while coming to the platform with a guitar and dressed like, ooh, what is that? How they look like, you know? Punk rock, rockers. And they sing the way to the content of the heart of the young people. And they go home and tell the mom and dad, I went to church this morning, it's a great thing. No wonder, Ichabod, as you pronounce the word. What is written on the churches today? They are found wanting in the eyes of God. They have a name, but it's dead, as the book of Revelation would say. Huh? Laodicea, we are in Laodicea. Beautiful name, Laodicea. It's a woman's name, beautiful. It's only a name that is only used by family of nobility or aristocrat, big family. Poor folks cannot name their daughter Laodicea. You know? I hope you know. Well, in Singapore, the poor folk name their children a cow, a two, you know, a dog, a pig. That's how in those days, that's why you can see Tanakao, Limatu. You probably understand what I'm talking about. Brother Bradley called a puzzle. you know. But the rich people will give their name, oh, very poetical, you know, philosophical name attached to it. At least my father is intelligent enough not to call me Atu or Akka or something like that. You know, it sounds terrible. But you know, in those days, Laodicea is a name only noble family could name their daughter. And truly enough, it's a beautiful name. And Laodicea is the age today we live in. And they have beautiful name. Beautiful name to their churches. But it's dead. They have a name, but it's dead. Because why? There's no identification with the Word of God at all. We have a Bible that is this thick. And in some churches, it seems that the Bible is just only 20%, one-tenth of it, or one-twentieth of it in size. They don't preach what should be preached. They all preach prosperity. Every alternate Sunday is prosperity. And every alternate Sunday is God loves you. Everything is love, love, love. Hey, brother, sister, let us love one another. Love outside the Word of God is not love at all. Because God is love. He is in His own Word. Any other love outside the Word of God is man-made. You go to Thailand, you will understand what I'm saying. A lot of monks go around asking for alms. Family will give them this, give them that. That's love. But that's enough. It's just carnal love. When you talk about real love, God is corrective. The love of God is to correct you, to bring you to Himself. Not for you to be horizontally in love with one another in that sense. Jesus said, if I, the Son of Man, been lifted up, I will draw all men to Myself. To Myself. So if you cannot look up to God first, or look up to Christ first, what true love is, your love for somebody around you is useless. In the love of God. And let's read on. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall thy name be. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I give Abraham and Isaac to thee will I give it, and thy seed after thee will I give the land. I like this. God's way of doing things is this. When there is a change of order, there is a change of name. When there is a change of covenant, there is a change of order. And if you look in the Old Testament, God dealt with the children of Israel through the prophets. Right? You have different kinds of prophets, of course. Men like Isaiah, Moses, such caliber of men like him. Well, quite a number of them. And they were older, those, they were not of that caliber, but they are all prophets of God. Minor, we would say, smaller kind of a brief period of time for this prophet to operate. But there were these men like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Moses. There were men like Micah, Hosea, you know. They call minor prophet, not because they are minor or small flies, but it means that the Bible is the book they've written is small. But they are all men of God. But when the New Testament came in, when Jesus ascended into heaven, there was complete change of order. But the trouble is the churches today don't seem to understand it, especially the anti-message people. Why? They're so taken up with the prophet of God, William Branham, if they don't understand it. You know, that's a problem with people I found, with many preachers in the anti-message. They don't read and study the Word of God. And they call themselves preacher. All they do is take the book of Brother Ben and read it. They listen to the tape, they listen to the sermon, everything. And try to digest what he said. You know, it's so silly. You listen to a sermon, let the Spirit of God speak to you how what the sermon is all about. What How he took the word and how that the Spirit will break down his own word from the scripture and give it the real truth to take. But no, we don't have that many preachers in the end time message to actually study the word of God. Many of the preachers overseas, many of them ask me, say, Brother Ken, how did you come across all this revelation? I said, Brother, it's very simple. Take the Bible. Be alone with God. Even as much as you need, fast and pray. If you want to know truth, you have to be alone with God. I know, of course, there are certain gifts that God gives, God operates in a certain way. That's God's gift. But when there comes a new old and entire message, in the New Testament, when the Bible said, when Paul said, when Christ ascended to heaven, he gave gifts unto men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now what happened? He put the apostolic ministry up on top. And the prophetic ministry, he put it second. But today, a lot of people don't understand that thing. If we have been brought back, as according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, to turn the heart of the father, the children back to the father, if we have turned back to the apostolic father's faith in this end time, then we've got to come back to the apostolic faith. And if you take the apostle to set the church in order in the beginning, to lay the foundation, it will come, that ministry of the apostle must return and put everybody back into the word again. The prophet of God said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Come out to meet him. He pointed us back to the word. That's all his job was. His message was to point him back to the word. Back to the word. Abraham, come out of the country. Come out of your kingdom. Come out even of your father's house. And I'll take you to a place that I will give it to you. A land filled with milk and honey. This is my homeland. This is the land of milk and honey. You know, as Bob Ham said, Israel will never be blessed until they come back to the homeland. The church of God will not be blessed until they come back to the word of God. Just as simple as that. And all this time now, God told him now, be fruitful and multiply. Here, Jacob had to change his name because now it's his new beginning. He had made one circuit from up Bethel all the way up to Bethel. Now he's going back again. Before he went in, God spoke to him. When he came out, God spoke to him. And all that which was in the past was buried under the oak tree of weeping. Leave that buried. Your name no longer be Jacob. Your name shall be called Israel. So we need to move on. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar. In a place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering thereon, and poured oil thereon. Now in those days, when Abraham was called to sacrifice Isaac, he set up an altar, piled up stones, put branches of twigs and branches, whatever he could collect, woods, like a fire, slay an offering, and offered. When Jacob had this dream at Luz, he collected a big piece of stone. Of course, tradition had it that this stone now is in under the chair, under the coronation chair in London, where the king and queen are coronated. But that is not true. That's just a myth. Okay? All we have was Jacob took a stone. He poured oil on it. Alright, so this is the place where I will meet, God had met with me. But now he came back, he poured out a drink offering. Now a drink offering is never drank, but it's always poured out. And that drink offering shows the simplicity of our basic life, which is water. Alright, he gave that offering to God, and he anointed that place. But you know what? Later on, such a stone is forbidden by God. Because it has become an idol to many people. And it's true, isn't it? People always look at stone, oh, that is the stone. And then you find it in Catholicism. You know? And we find Catholicism, what did Catholicism get all this stone stuff that people go and worship? Because they get it from paganism. And we know that Catholicism is full of paganism in it. If you go to the book of Leviticus, you will find out. Let's go to the book of Leviticus, just let's show it to you. Leviticus 26. Verse 1. You shall make no idols, no graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, or that is a pillar. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. So later on it was forbidden by Moses, the Lord God forbid it. But at that time when he went back, he set that place up and worshipped the Lord. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrat. And Rachel travailed, and she had her labor. Interesting to say that from Bethel, it is very far from. Now, here we have this Bethlehem. Bethel is somewhere around here. It's not very far. A little way. Just a little way. The house of God, if you come back to the house of God, if the man back sleep, he said, oh, I need to come back to God's house. Come back to the joy of his salvation. He comes to the house of the Lord. When he comes to the house of the Lord, it will be but a little way before he comes to the house of God's bread. Because if there is a true thirst for you to come back to God, you must thirst for his word. And so we see this kind of a shadows or a type here. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor. You know, Ephrat is also a name for Bethlehem. Huh? And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. Now, Benoni means son of my sorrow. Benjamin means the son of my right hand. But a lot of people just accept Benoni as the one as to mean the son of my sorrow. But actually, the Hebrew word, you know what harmonium is? Homonium is? You know what homonium is? Homonium is a word that it sounds the same, but it has a different meaning. Or a word that have two meanings of the same. Stalk. For example, it's a stalk. S-T-A-L-K. You know what a stalk is? It also means to stalk somebody. It's another meaning. You know. Well, I can't remember how to give other example now. But homonym is a word that sounds almost the same. I mean, it sounds the same, but could have two different meanings. So, Benoni doesn't necessarily mean the son of my soul. It actually means the son of my strength. So, instead of really has sorrow, it is actually strength. In the Hebrew word, it has this meaning of strength. So because the midwife told her, you shall have the son. Thou shalt have this son also. So how could it be my soul? And truly because the father called him, later on, you shall be called the son of my right hand. For now he was a symbol of strength in it. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem. So just think a little bit while. Let's look at this. From here, Bethel, to Bethlehem is very short here. But from here to here, someplace in between, there is death. So when we go from in order to really proceed to something greater, you have to die to self, so to speak. And if you read this passage of 35, the story of Jacob comes to an end. It's all about death, about sorrow, about weeping, about the old past. Put it away. Can you know what, brothers and sisters, we all must come to this understanding. That we must die to self. This woman must die. The past, don't let it resurrect. There's a lot of memory about the past, things that people have done to us and all these things. We must let it go. Bury it under the great oak. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day, in that day that this Bible was written. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Elder. That's interesting, the part of where the Tower of Elder is. It's actually Bethlehem itself. There's a tower in the city. It went beyond that. And that is exactly, later on you read in other places, for example, the book of Micah, chapter 4, verse 8, is prophesied about the Messiah to come, or the child is to be born to be a Savior, is born there. Because the Tower of Elder is a place where sacrificial lamb are reared and slaughtered. And Christ was actually born in that area. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. And now the son of Jacob were 12. Now this is just to give you an injection to hear for you to understand. The Reuben was the firstborn, but he never got inheritance. You see, it's just one of those carnal, that serpentine nature that's in us. It's in Reuben. So God is just showing that, you know, why did he choose Shem? Why did he not choose Japheth, who was the firstborn? Why did he choose Shem, the lastborn, when the firstborn is supposed to get inheritance? Why Jacob and not Esau? God knows all the character. God knows us even before we were born. And so why did the Messiah did not come to Reuben's line? Why come to Judah's line? The fourth. You see. Just let you know. And the 12 sons of Israel were mentioned here. And the last spot here is in 20 verse 26. It says, and the son of Zipha, Leah's son, Leah's maid, Gad, Asher, and these are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. They were all born up there. They were all born in the time of trouble. But you know, we can be born in a time of trouble and sorrow. We can be born into the world, come into this world, born in death and in pain. But you know what? The moment we get out of Padan Aram, when we get out into a new life and come to Bethel, the house of God, and give our life to the Lord, we have a new life. A new beginning completely. And Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Abba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. Now Isaac died at the age of 180. Jacob at that time was 120 years. And Isaac gave up the goats and died. Yeah, the Bible kind of emphasizes a little bit. You can just say the Bible will have written, Isaac gave up the goats and was carried unto his grave. But the Bible says, and died. And the whole passage of chapter 35 is death, sorrow, pain, regret of life, wasted years. Sometimes the way that the Holy Spirit writes the Bible, he wants to wake us up. He wants to make us to realize the way he expressed certain things. Make us to see our gloomy days in the life of Jacob. Make us to see we were all like this once upon a time. And when we come to the Lord, everything is changed. You know what? You have a new name coming up for you. Even now that you are God, you already have a new name given, but you don't yet receive it until you come to Him in that day. So may the Lord bless you as you close. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for thy word. We ask that, Father, you can break it down further to us, Lord. In our time, our quietness, that you speak to us. Keep us in thy way. Keep us in thy word. We are thankful, Father, for thou hast exposed Jacob's life to us to make us to realize that's what we were. We are. And I believe, Lord Jacob, in the days when we see him, he will understand why you have to put that record down. For nothing, Lord, is hidden from you. Our life is a book to be written, to be read by all men. And Lord, we pray that our life is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we walk, Lord, not as the old Jacob, but as Israel. We thank you, Father. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.